Wisconsin Public Radio has invited candidates who are running in contested primaries for statewide office and congressional seats to join us for interviews here on Central Time or on the morning show. You can find all of those interviews online at wisconsinvote.org. Today, we conclude our interviews with candidates for governor of Wisconsin. There are contested primaries for both Republicans and Democrats. Today, we talked to State Senator Kathleen Vinehout. She's a farmer and a current Wisconsin state senator and is running in the Democratic primary. Senator Vinehout, thanks for joining us today.
My pleasure.
Well, we're asking everyone to give us kind of their elevator pitch, the length of an elevator ride, to explain why you're running for governor.
I am running for governor to put people first, people at the center of state policy, people number one when it comes to state spending. This is a very different direction than where the state is headed now, where a few well-connected companies are doing very well and not so much for the rest of us. One of the things that I'm strongly supporting and have drafted and introduced in the Senate is free tuition for two-year in tech colleges. It's a bill where I take a portion of one of many, many different business tax credits and put it to work, opening wide the door of higher education for folks that want to get maybe not a four-year degree, but something more than high school. It's actually patterned after the Republican governor in Tennessee who looked out on his people and says, oh my gosh, folks don't have, they're not making enough money and they don't have the skills to be able to get a good job. And I strongly believe that the perception of money being an obstacle should never stand in the way to higher education. As you know, I'm a former professor, and my dad dug ditches and was a union laborer, and he thought the college would be wasted on a girl. So I put myself through college and as a nurse's aide, and it was a struggle. And that's why I feel so strongly that free tuition is something that we need to do as a state.
Can you talk a little bit about your background as an academic, as a farmer, as a state lawmaker, how you'd make the case that prepares you to be governor?
I have a very different background than everyone else who's running for governor. I grew up in a union family. I've spent quite a few years working as a nurse's aide, working my way through college. Of course, when my dad said that college would be wasted on a girl, I had to prove him wrong. So I went on to get my master's degree in public health and my PhD in health services research. And I became a full-time college professor at the University of Illinois System in Springfield. I taught public health, health policy, health administration for 10 years. And then I followed my lifelong dream to become a full-time dairy farmer, and all of the professors I used to work with were like, oh wow, how nice, beautiful cows, beautiful hills. And all the dairy farmers that I worked with were like, oh my gosh, you must be crazy. But I did what I wanted to. I spent 10 years milking cows. I know what it's like to get up at 4 a.m. and get hit in the face with a very dirty tail. I'm not afraid to get my hands dirty or my boots dirty. I know what it's like to work hard. And it was health insurance and going back to health policy that got me involved in the Senate. I faced a difficult decision the last time the price of milk went to hell. And our family had to make the decision of whether to get rid of the cows or to drop our very expensive, very, very bad, poor coverage health insurance. And we dropped the health insurance. And my son, I took that call that no mom ever wants, that my son was sick and had to have emergency surgery. And he had three surgery and three scars later and a $15,000 hospital bill later. We took out a second mortgage to cover the bill. And I had so many people in my neighborhood or folks that I knew in the farming community that had similar stories and didn't have the equity in their farm to be able to do this. And I knew in my head that healthcare policy was something, universal healthcare was something that we could change. I knew how to do it. Back when I was teaching, we were close to having Hillary care, we thought. And then, when I came into the Senate, when I got elected, I came into the Senate, was one of the first things I did was work with two of the other senators to create a plan called Healthy Wisconsin that covered everybody, and it covered everybody, and it saved $1 billion. And we had independent actuaries that showed us that math.
Is that something, staying with health policy, would you try to do something like that now in Wisconsin if you were governor?
Well, we can't because the Affordable Care Act passed. And so the whole landscape for healthcare, health policy has changed. But there are many options for states under the Affordable Care Act. And the first option we need to take is to create our own Wisconsin-based marketplace. It's a bill that I drafted in 2010 as the Affordable Care Act was passing. I then redrafted in 2011 when the rules were written, the administrative rules, and then have introduced it in the Senate Assembly every legislative session since then. It allows the state to use its powers to bring down health insurance costs, and it protects quality, it provides access, it creates stability for the plans. It does many things that the state cannot do using the federal government, including being able to offer a public option, which I support offering a public option. Just to give folks an idea, if we compare 2017 to 2018 costs, our costs went up an average of almost 40%. Minnesota's, which has their own marketplace, dropped by 10% and are expected to drop by another 11% this coming year. So there's a lot that we can do as a state under the Affordable Care Act to provide affordable health care.
Talking to Kathleen Vinehout, a Democrat running for governor of Wisconsin. It is a crowded field, as you know, 8 candidates on the ballot. How do you distinguish yourself from your competitors in this race?
I live in a very different part of the state. I live in beautiful Buffalo County, where internet comes at a slow walk. I like to say I have internet by Pony Express, and you need a local guide to tell you where the fish are biting and where you can get a cell signal. I live in a part of the state that Democrats have to win if we're going to win statewide. I've won 3 races in that part of the state where Scott Walker has won all 3 of his races, where Trump won. I live in a district that went to Trump in my home county by almost 70%. So I know how to win in a Republican area. I also don't have to take a crash course in what's happened in the Capitol in the last 8 years. I have been there. I've lived through it. I know where the bones are buried. I've written alternatives to the governor's budgets, every single one of the governor's budgets. I have showed how to spend the same dollars, the same state dollars, but with different priorities. Things like I mentioned, fixing healthcare, fixing schools, fixing the DNR, recognizing the climate change is real and it's happening all around us, fixing the transportation problems with the roads. I've shown the math on how to do this. I've read the audits. I know the recommendations the governor was given that he did not follow. I know how he spent the money and how he should have spent the money if he put people first. There's nobody else in the field that has that experience and that has done that kind of homework. I'm ready to take on the governor on the debate stage in October.
A key selling point that Governor Walker has talked about, we'll talk about, is a very low unemployment rate here in Wisconsin, lower than the rest of the country, historically low here in the state. Why change parties now?
Because people don't have money in their pockets. They're working 2 and 3 jobs and they don't have the money to be able to live. Wisconsin is 18th worst of all states in terms of wages, worse than Missouri, Louisiana, like I mentioned, Tennessee. Our people are hurting, and we're hurting because wages are so poor. And the things that maybe make their people's pocketbooks a little bit fuller, they're not happening. So we have people paying higher in health insurance premiums. We have people that don't have an option to get a way to refinance their student debt. All of these things make a difference when it comes to whether or not people have the ability to live. I strongly support moving the minimum wage to $15 an hour and making it a living wage, which for all of those historians out there was our history going all the way back to 1913.
We're talking to Kathleen Vinehout about her campaign for governor in the Democratic primary, and you can join in at 800-642-1234. What question do you have for the candidate? Do you want to know where she stands on a particular issue? Call in now at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas@wpr.org. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. Kathleen Vinehout is with us. We're talking about her campaign in the Democratic primary for governor of Wisconsin, and you can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you have a question for Senator Vinehout? Do you want to know where she stands on a particular issue that you're following? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas at WPR.org. We'll go to your calls. Willem is with us in Colfax. Willem, hi.
Hi. I live in western Wisconsin where there's been a real boom in frac sand mining. My concern is that this type of activity hurts other economic activity by creating sort of a no-go zone for housing and other industries. And I wanted to ask about a specific regulation. The regulation for containment ponds for frac sand mining is a 100-year rain event, which is currently 6 inches. I think everyone that lives in this area knows that 6 inches is no longer a 100-year rain event. In keeping with climate change models, it's going to occur more and more frequently. And why has our governor and our government sort of not protected us?
Willem, thanks for the call.
Willem, I'm very grateful for your question. I represent a part of the state that has more mines than any other part of the state. And those folks that live where we do remember when there was a containment pond that ruptured and spilled 10 million gallons of sludge with unknown chemicals in it into the local creek and all the way down into the Trempealeau Wildlife Area and into the Mississippi River. So this is a very serious problem, and it's a solvable problem. When I talked with local government, and just to give a little bit of background, this particular mine annexed itself into the city of Independence and the city of Whitehall to avoid the county ordinance. So the county was powerless to be able to set that their regular ordinances to stop and the conditional use permit to stop what happened. What they told me is that there need to be structures in place so that a containment pond does, if it does overflow or if it does rupture, that sludge does not enter our surface water. And that the protections that the public needed were not in place. I have fought this policy for a very long time. I've introduced about a dozen bills into the state legislature to tighten up the regulation. I introduced amendments to the budget to add the inspectors needed, because at one time we learned from the Nonpartisan Fiscal Bureau that about 80% of the mines were not being inspected. And this will change under Governor Vinehout. We will hire the inspectors. We will do the inspections. No longer will mines be able to circumvent local and state ordinances, because the state will back up what the local people are trying to do. In this annexation that happened over in Independence and Whitehall should never, ever happen. And I also have a bill in the legislature to stop it, and I will work very hard to get it passed as governor.
Thanks for that call, Willem, at 800-642-1234. Back to your calls. Alicia is with us in Pewaukee. Alicia, hi.
Hi, yes. I was actually just calling, and I'll get off right after this comment, but I just want to know what your stance is on immigration and the workers and what's going on in with the state, and what you're going to do. Pretty much what it is your stance and what you're going to do about it. And I'll get off now. Thank you.
Well, we need to open wide our doors and welcome in the immigrants that are living in our communities. There is no doubt in my mind that if our workers left tomorrow, we would not be able to harvest the milk that has to be milked twice a day, three times a day. I am a former dairy farmer, and I'm very empathetic to the plight of the farmers who are now waking up in western Wisconsin and realizing that their farm labor left because their workers are afraid. In my district, in Arcadia, I have heard the stories about how the ice came in the middle of the night and shone huge lights into people's living rooms and took people away in the middle of the night, and families were horrified. side. And the word spread on Facebook, and many, many farmers found that they were about to lose, or had fearful employees, or in some cases actually did lose their employees. So this is a question of setting the tone at the top. I do not like what ICE is doing, and I will do everything as governor to stop what's happening, and I will direct my agencies to be respectful and treat everyone, immigrant or non-immigrant, with dignity and provide them the services that they are deserved under the law and the protections that they are deserved under the law.
Thanks for the call, Alicia. We're going out to Penny in Ridgeway. Penny, hi.
Hi, I'm calling from Ridgeway, southwestern Wisconsin, and Governor Vinehout. I would like to know what you will do about voting and gerrymandering for the state of Wisconsin so that we can get everyone out to vote.
Thank you. Thank you, Penny. I believe that we need to repeal the vote, what I call the voter suppression law, the changes in the voting law, the changes in campaign finance law, the many, many changes that have passed the legislature that I, as a Democrat, fought against and tried to stop. I have, in the alternative budgets that I mentioned, I have put aside money to create nonpartisan redistricting. It is a bill that I support. It's a bill that's been championed by Senator Risser in the Senate, and I co-sponsored his bill. I also found out after I put the money in the alternative budget that we already have the program, the computer work to do nonpartisan redistricting, and it's being used by our local county people to do the supervisor districts and our local city people to do the aldermanic districts. It actually probably wouldn't even cost $100,000 to be able to do this, which is the money that I set aside. So I see a path as the governor to, with a Senate that is Democratic, to work with the Senate to create the bill, to pass the bill in the Senate, to work with the press, to ask the people of the state to continually put pressure on the Republican Assembly. And I believe even in a mixed House where we have Democrats and Republicans controlling the two different chambers, that we can get this passed. No longer should local elected or should the elected people choose their voters. The voters should choose the elected people.
Penny, thanks for the call. We're talking to Kathleen Vinehout about her campaign for governor. Peter is with us now in Madison. Peter, hi.
Hi there. First of all, I have to say that everything that Senator Vinehout is saying is like logic that I don't think anyone can argue. Sorry. I just feel like that's what we're talking about here. Second, I think what I want to know is, I mean, obviously Governor Walker is head deep in the Foxconn pool, and he seems to kind of glaze over our natural resources. That's a very big concern of mine because I often visit Lake Michigan and other major waterways. And I want to know how you, Senator Vinehout, would maybe put some pressure on Foxconn to produce real results when they're asked.
I'm going to jump in because we're a little short on time.
Well, I think the goal is to get rid of the deal, to get rid of Foxconn for a variety of reasons. Number one, the state can't afford it. But and the path that I see is what you were suggesting, Peter, which is the Great Lakes and the diversion of water off the Great Lakes. Folks forget that the Great Lakes Compact is not only something that was signed by the governors and the provincial leaders in Canada, it is also state law. Those 250 pages of that bill became state law. So I see the diversion as a violation of the law. We've already had a lawsuit from Illinois. I think there are going to be other lawsuits filed, and I think that provides us, that and the other environmental issues that you raise, provides us a pathway to get rid of this deal.
Peter, thanks. Time for one more quick call. Jonathan in Manitowoc. Jonathan, hi.
Hi, how are you?
Good. What did you want to bring up, Jonathan?
About abortion. My wife and I, we now have a 10-month-old baby. When she was pregnant, beat for the first time when he was 6 weeks in the belly. So I just wanted to get your stance on abortion, and if you are for abortion, at what term can we Is it
Jonathan,
not, like,
thanks. Just a few moments left. Your stance on abortion issues.
Jonathan, my sister almost died from a self-induced abortion, and I am very understanding that people love their children, and as I do, and we all do, but it is imperative that women have access to safe services, because if they do not have access to safe services, women will die. And we are right now at a time in our history when that possibility exists. And it's very important that the next governor be very clear that we will protect women's health. And I will protect, as Governor Vineout, women's health. We want to make sure that women do not die.
We'll leave it there. Senator Vineout, thanks for joining us today.
My pleasure.
Kathleen Vineout is running for governor of Wisconsin as a Democrat. That concludes our series of interviews with candidates for governor who face contested primaries. Governor Scott Walker was unable to join us. Profiles of all of the Democratic and Republican candidates for governor can be found at WPR.org. You can find interviews with candidates for governor and other offices in the state at WisconsinVote.org. Coming up tomorrow here on Central Time, we'll talk to the author of a new report on the ways health insurance companies are using big data and how it could affect what you pay for coverage. NCAA basketball will see some changes after last year's FBI investigation into corruption. Some critics say it's just window dressing. A reporter gives us the details. Plus, corn on Food Friday and look at some of the top news of the day. All that's coming up tomorrow here on Central Time.